opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Effed Up Farming. I'm your host, Royce O'Neill, and across from me in the crow's nest tonight, I've got Tyler Martin, your co-host.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be here.
Tyler, what you been up to this week?
You know, some meetings, that's conference fun. Calls, stuff like that.
Good stuff this time of year.
Yeah, some chemistry bids, stuff like that.
Exciting.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Good times.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
I'm glad you do.
Hey, you know what's a lot more fun? Saying, no, I can't bid that because I can't get it. As opposed to, hey, I know I won that bid and I know you said you wanted this, but I can't get it.
You know, I could see that being problematic, Tyler.
Yeah.
Not working out real
well.
If
any of my customers are listening, is what it is. If I tell you I can't get it, good odds I can't get it. I'll call you back if it comes in.
There you heard it. He can't get anything.
Straight out of the horse's ass's mouth.
Just. Very apt description. All right. With that, you want to get into our sponsors? You want to lead us off, bud?
I will. First off, out of Canada, we have the Livestock Podcast. Check them out. Everywhere you get your podcasts. Does a really good job. Cattle-based, obviously. Cattle, life. It's a good show. Check them out.
Don't worry. You're not going to see any new episodes on there for a while.
You got time to catch up.
Yeah. You got time to catch up. So don't think you're getting on this podcast train listening to him and he's quit. He has not quit. He's just in between seasons, apparently, because this Canadian's got to take a break every once in a while.
He's busy time.
Busy time. It is a busy time for him. He's calving out right now.
It's indoors.
Yeah,
he's got to run from the house to the barn. But
well, and watch the cameras, and then got to go out there and put socks on everything's ears so they don't freeze off.
It's a lot of work.
It's not just like here where you just turn them out in the pasture and say, please don't have trouble.
Okay.
So.
And then also in sponsorship, we have Mo Enterprises.
The
home of the best Sim Angus genetics in White Deer, Texas.
As well as one purebred hot-ass Angus bull. Hot ass?
I don't think I like the way you're saying that.
Maybe not. Maybe not hot ass.
Badass?
Badass.
A barn burner?
Barn burner. There you go.
I can think a lot of ways better than hot ass.
Yeah, I can too now that I think about it, Tyler. But
I actually think that is the first time I've ever heard, and I've talked to a lot of people about cattle. I think that is the first time that is a hot ass bull.
All right, so it didn't work. We can move on.
Okay.
So we've got Mo Enterprises sponsoring the parent company of Mo Cattle and the Effed Up Farming Podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
That's it.
We appreciate you for listening. Oh, wait, no, we better do our booze review.
Oh, yeah, booze review.
Boozeless review.
Boozeless review. For those of y'all that don't remember, we're doing Dry January, and so we're taking this opportunity to try some non-alcoholic boozes. Last week, we tried, what was that shit called? Monday Gin?
Yeah, Monday Gin, and it
Boy,
was...
Boy, I do not recommend that shit.
Apparently, it was brewed on a Monday because it sucked.
They was hungover whenever they were brewing that shit. But this week, we have Athletic Brewing Company, and we are trying the Run Wild IPA. This is a craft brew with non-alcoholic. They started in 2017. Brew Without Compromise is their deal. They got a description on here? At Athletic Brewing Company, we are pioneering a craft beer revolution. We believe you shouldn't have to sacrifice your ability to be at your best to enjoy great brews. So we created our innovative lineup of refreshing, non-alcoholic craft brews. It's 70 calories, which...
ain't much for a beer.
Okay. It doesn't have any kind of flavor pro. I guess we'll just
dig in this shit. No, I'm not seeing anything. I was, looking for something on the box and got nothing.
It smells like an IPA.
It does. It smells.
I mean,
after last week, I'm kind of excited. Yeah,
that's an IPA.
It really is.
It's apple-y. Do you get that? Like an apple juice?
Kind I'm not of? Not getting any apple juice. I'm getting hops. It's kind of a drier IPA, like a drier hopped IPA.
It's very hoppy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's actually pretty good.
Almost like a not quite like a hopadilla.
No, it's
but it's almost.
You know that
it's like a hopadilla, only different.
You know the Tupp's juice pack?
Yes.
It tastes very similar to that. It's a bit muted in its flavors.
It's not as fruity as a juice pack.
I'm getting a lot of fruit out of it.
I'm not getting any
fruit
out of it.
I'm like apple. I'm getting a lot of apple juice flavor out of this.
But it's good.
Hops and apple juice. And it's not as I said the flavors were muted, and I don't think that's the right term for that. Because the hops is actually pretty front, you know, like hits you, the hop.
Well, just like a good IPA should be.
But the rest of the flavors, like it has like a watery mouthfeel that maybe you don't quite get all those subtle hints.
Yeah.
You following?
I'm following with what you're saying there. Yeah, it's because the texture-wise, it is a little thin, a little more watery than some of the IPAs are. You can't.
But
quite
I mean, it's also
it.
70 calories, so that probably has a lot to do with it. Which I think that's another one of their deals is they're trying to be a healthier option, not just
alcohol-free. Yeah. No, it's so we're going pass fail.
This is pass.
Definitely pass in my book too.
100%.
Yeah.
I'd actually like even on the 1 to 10 scale, I'd give that 6, 7.
Yeah, it's thinking over a 5.
It's good. And they give back 2% of all sales to restoring local trails.
Fancy.
I'm going to have to get some of that.
Well, you got this, so.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, for at-home use.
I got you. No, I'm with you. That's
good
pretty
beer.
Decent.
I might not even need my glass of water. Just drink this shit. It's good. I like it. So, Athletic Brewing Company, and this is the Run Wild IPA. They, if you're not an IPA drinker, I think they had a lager. I know they had, like, a stout. It was like a midnight something, and I didn't want to do a stout.
Interesting.
And then I think they've got like a maybe the lager was like a Mexican lager.
Yeah, we might have to try this one again or try another one of the Athletic Brewing Companies, because that is definitely better than last week's fail attempt at a gin.
I mean, this tastes like an IPA.
It really does.
Oh fuck, it's from California.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Which
no.
Yeah, San Diego.
Connecticut.
That's at San Diego.
Stratford, Connecticut, San Diego, California.
So it's so they got two locations.
I'm hoping this is a Yankee brew.
Yeah, it could be. Hard to tell. We're kind of in the middle of the two.
I'd rather drink something from Connecticut.
Well, I know, but I'm saying it's hard to tell which way it would have come from, because we're kind of in the middle of those two.
Got to figure them yuppies in California are drinking all their California fake beer.
Yeah, I know in California it's illegal to export it.
I'm surprised it doesn't have a cancer warning on it.
That may be how we know it did come from Connecticut.
Well, very, very simple ingredient list there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Water, organic Vienna malt, malted barley, oats, hops, and yeast.
It's good stuff. Kept it simple. Turned out a quality product.
Yeah. I definitely recommend trying it if you guys are in dry January. I'd almost say this is kind of a double-edged sword, because that kind of makes me want an actual beer now. I don't know that it's fulfilling its job. It's keeping me from drinking.
So you're saying it's a fail.
Well, I mean, flavor-wise, it is a pass.
I could drink that all night. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how bloated you start to feel after a couple of them.
Surely not too bad with it just being 70 calories. Can't feel you up too
well,
bad.
And you got to figure, it's not like you're chasing that buzz.
No.
So it's not like we're going to sit down here and drink a 30-pack. Mainly because we don't have one.
I was going to say, because we've only got four more.
And that was kind of pricey, but I mean, like for an IPA, if you compared it straight across the board from an IPA, it's a pretty reasonable.
Was
I think it
$10 bucks?
10, 12, something like that.
Okay. So for a six-pack of a good IPA, it's in the realm.
Mid-range IPA anymore. Yeah. Shit's getting fucking ridiculous.
It is, isn't it?
It is. So what do you want to jump into here?
Oh, you want to just take a shot in the dark? Pick one?
Yeah, sure. I don't care.
Let's do Killing the Day.
Okay. I'll go first.
All right.
I'm going to go with Ringling Road by William Clark Green. Off the album, Ringling Road. Step right up, we got beer for the bearded lady, and the Siamese twins are in the opium, and the trapeze guys are all high on cocaine that they buy from a guy that used to drive the train. We got water for the elephants. Everybody knows the greatest party on earth is the circus down on Ringling Road.
Good song.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I like William Clark Green a lot.
Oh, yeah. Good band. Definitely a good band.
You know, and he's got a lot of good songs because I just bought that album kind of blindly because I like that song.
Well, it's an older album, too. It's been out for a while.
Yeah, it has. But, you know, it's got like Next Big Thing and Sticks and Stones, Creek Don't Rise.
All good songs.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, Tyler. It's a good one.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, I'm bringing to you Corners from Dalton Domino this week. Right in front of my lover's eyes. Oh, but once in my life I found a freedom that was bigger than myself or a song. I guess this surrender was something that I needed to show what I was needing all along.
That's a good jam.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the simplicity of just the guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen Dalton Domino live?
I don't guess I have.
Puts on a pretty good show.
Does he?
You know, he's the one that they had that, what was that? They had t-shirts. Let Dalton smoke. After Hoots went smokeless.
Oh, really?
And everybody was bitching because Dalton Domino was up there smoking.
Doesn't surprise me. Somebody's always got a bitch about something.
Pretty fucking much the story of my fucking life.
I'm sure it is right now, bud.
All the fucking time.
Even worse right now when you've got nothing to sell.
It's like you don't fucking need it anyway. Fuck it. You don't know what you're going to plant. Don't be yelling at me because I don't have your chemistry.
I have a pretty good idea what I'm going to plant.
You don't have as many options as other people.
It is true.
Like, what else are you going to do? You going to plant corn? Don't fucking think so.
Don't have enough water.
You going to plant rice? Don't fucking think so.
Maybe.
You going to plant weed?
Can I?
Not legally. And I will not help you in the adventure.
I appreciate the affirmation of our business partnership there, Tyler.
Yeah, no, that's not a Mo Enterprise situation.
Is that what you would call an OEM enterprise situation?
WOM. The O'Neill definitely goes first in that one, all right, bud? If I go down, it says an accessory. Your wife's got a job. Your kid will be fine. I go to the pen, we got some fucking issues in the Martin household, all right?
I'm sure your parents will take care of your kid.
Yeah, they're not going to live forever.
I mean, it's not like we're going away forever.
If we plant 500 acres of weed in a circle, first off, I'm almost positive we're going to get caught.
I have a feeling you're probably right.
Without a doubt, I'm almost positive we're going to get caught. And secondly, I don't know if there's like, you know, I think they put you like years based on how many plants you have. And I don't know your seed pop on weed. I'm not that well versed in it. But I'm betting that's going to be pretty close to a life sentence, bud.
So here's what we do. We plant it in somebody else's cornfield. I feel like we should get off this topic.
I mean, I'm fine with being on it. It's interesting. It's, you know, spitballing, throwing out ideas. Maybe the people at home got something they can say.
There you go.
Don't put it on the Facebook group. You need to reach out independently. Track me down.
At least private message at the very least.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. Zuckerberg? That son of a bitch seems like a narc.
No, he's not a narc. He's a he's cyborg. He's a
fucking lizard person.
He's a cyborg.
Sweet baby rays. Sweet baby rays.
Yeah, everything.
Have you seen those videos? Like, I have never seen someone that is so excited to be at a barbecue, but showing zero emotion.
Zero emotion.
It's like, it's weird. He's not showing any emotion, but you can tell he's happy to be there.
Have you seen the picture of him in his living room? He's given an interview for something, and on the bookshelf behind him is a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's. Yes. He's not doing anything with a barbecue at that point. Like, wow, guy, you are a fanboy of that one barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and his backyard is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Like, for the amount of, that's got to be just like the grill yard.
Got to be.
Like, surely behind that fence, there's like another 10 acres for his kids to go play.
He has kids?
I think so. Yeah, I'm real sure, because he doesn't let them have Facebook or be on laptops or iPads or anything like that.
Well, how will they learn? How will the programs learn and become sentient?
I think that's the deal. They already are.
That's scary.
His kids don't need programmed. They're the programmers.
He already did a good job when he built them.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So that took some twists and turns.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So you wanna go with top five now?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
Top five things to grow illegally in the middle of your circle.
Well, I think marijuana.
That's definitely actually.
I think
list.
If we're talking cash crops, opium would be on there.
Opium or coca?
I don't know. Anyway, no, we're not doing that. No. Come on, give me a real fucking topic here.
All right.
And you say I get off on tangents.
How about top five winter projects, Tyler?
Top five winter projects. Well, I'll tell you one of my favorite winter projects. Not, man. I have to do a lot of trainings, both for my CCA license and for work. You know, we got to do a lot of safety and all that bullshit. And so that's one of my big winter projects. I catch up. That way, I try to get ahead. That way, I don't have to do it whenever I'm actually, you know, like, I got shit to do.
That's a good one, and it goes for both of us because, you know, usually we take the time to attend a couple meetings, get our CEUs in.
Yep. I got to do those too.
Stay current on our licenses. So that was a good one. Mine is, since that one's going to count, I'm going to go with bookwork, getting stuff together for your loan for your banker.
It's a good time to do that.
It is. I have finally shifted from June to February on renewing my note, so I am no longer trying to get all this stuff done when we're planting cotton and milo and trying to start cutting wheat.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's about time. It only took me 10 years.
Yeah, because I remember that one year we were in Amarillo at a bar or something. I don't know. We went over there to get haircuts, fucking off, do something. And you're like, I got to go home right now. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I don't have any money. I got to go home. I got to get my loan done.
Some years it is definitely more important than others.
Yeah.
So, or like this last year when I had signed the loan documents on the hood of a pickup while one combine was already taken off in the field and mine was just sitting there idling.
Yeah, I mean, hey, at least you had the fuel to get started.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was that.
So. Yep. So, we got bookworks. We got trainings. That kind of falls under. Actually, it doesn't. I'm going to say research. I do a lot of winter researching.
Okay.
You know, like maybe something happened in the season that I'm pretty sure I knew what happened, like what caused it, but maybe I don't know exactly. And so I try to research, you know, things that maybe we could have done a little bit different or just make sure that I'm right that that's what happened. You know, maybe it was chemistry burn, maybe, you know, stuff like that. And like new varieties and new, you know, I try to be prepared.
Good time to do that, especially when your fixes start selling the new varieties and trying to push them on people.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of which, I got three.
Hey, that's a conversation for after the podcast, I guess.
Oh, fuck you. Do it right here.
Fair enough. Hit me with it, Tyler.
No, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go with fixing shit. Bit your planner. It's a good time to go through your planner. We're fixing to have, I think, part sales. Usually John Deere runs specials about now. So get your planter in, go through it, get it ready. It's going to be time to start planting before too long, especially if anybody's south of us. It'll be a lot quicker than us.
Yeah, they probably already started.
Depends on how far south you want to go.
They ain't started. They're getting fucking close.
They're getting real close.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It kind of takes my next one.
Oh?
I was going to go work on my house.
Well, that's another good one.
But it kind of falls under fix shit.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with fix equipment.
You got another one?
Yeah, I do, but it's going to be along the lines of yours. I was going to say take care of things you don't have time to take care of when you're running hard, which would be
household like projects.
Household projects. Spending time with the family, which is what I've been doing this week since we've had a sick kid. She hadn't been able to go to daycare, so.
Ain't that fun?
It's a blast.
I had a sick kid one day this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was wrong with her?
She just threw up all night one night.
Oh, that's not fun.
I think that was Sunday. I didn't know until the next morning. I woke up, and my wife wasn't in bed with me. And I thought, well, that's fucking weird. She never beats me up.
She did that.
I start looking around, and Hurricane's not in her room. And then I walk in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, boy. I know what happened.
You got lucky on that one that you didn't get woke up.
I do not wake up.
It's
proven fact. You've lived with me.
Yeah.
I wake up whenever it's time to wake up. Middle of the night, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I do not wake up.
Well, you are lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, if Haley's listening, it's not an act. He's been like that for years.
Oh, for fucking ever. My mom was scared to death whenever I went to college because she was afraid a tornado was going to come through and I wasn't going to hear the sirens or anything and I was just going to die. That's a true story.
I'm not surprised at all. Was this before you lived with me or while you were living with me?
That's like whenever I went to college.
Oh, okay. That's good. Cause
from day one.
I would have liked to have thought she'd have enough faith in me that at least I was going to come slap you awake and be like, come on, we're going to the cellar, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It just...
I mean, if you didn't wake up, that was on you, but I was going to at least give it a college try.
She was really concerned whenever I lived in that trailer house out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, I could see that.
Pete's a heavy sleeper, too.
Well, I mean, you're...
I don't know about Omar.
You're in a tornado magnet.
Yes. Yeah, it was basically a trailer park. My neighbor had a trailer house. My other neighbor had a trailer house. Fucking trailers everywhere. I'm surprised I'm still alive.
You're one of the lucky ones.
It is what it is. So what else you been up to?
Did I get all five of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Really just watching the cotton markets, selling a little cotton here and there, waiting to get some grades back on some stuff still.
What do you think? What do you think's gonna happen with the cotton market? Think it's gonna keep going up?
It's either, I think it's going to stay sideways, at least for
right
now.
What's it at right now today? I hadn't looked at it.
Last I saw today, this was before noon, it was at $1.17 on the nearby.
Okay.
The new crop, I think, is somewhere in the 90s.
All right. So I heard yesterday a guy was telling me that he was pretty sure that, because they set the insurance price, what, next month?
Yeah, here pretty soon.
He was real sure that it was going to be like $1.15, $1.20. On the insurance price.
Which I don't know, I think they said it with the futures. So it would be the
they have like that day or whatever and
yeah. So D's 22 cotton right now is sitting at 96.20. So it's gonna have to take a pretty good jump, which it could. I mean our demand's there. Right now, as long as we keep exports where they're at, I can see it. One of the guys I was talking to, he was figuring $1, right around $1 for the nearby price.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they set it twice.
Right.
They'll set it now, and then they'll set it closer to harvest time, and then I think they average the two.
Yeah, I'm real sure that's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, the first price is fixing to get set here pretty soon.
Which, I mean, if you have $1 even a dollar first prize. I mean, your average is still going to be pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. Well, and how many people do you know of? This is what I was talking with our gin manager. How many people do you know of that would not contract 100% of their crop if they could get be guaranteed a dollar year after year?
Last year, I would have said I don't know any. This year, inputs are high. It's extremely dry.
It is that. I see the potential for next year's crop being the same price as this year's crop. Maybe a little higher.
Yes. But
I'm hesitant to call it being higher. Because we're at a fantastic price right now. And everybody in the world that can plant cotton is going to plant cotton for $1, $1.17.
Yeah, but they got to get the shit up. They got to make a crop.
Yeah.
And I think your dry land acres are really going to... I mean, there's a lot of time between now and harvest, but...
Well, and in that vein, I think there's going to be lots of people that plant it hoping for it to fail. Hoping to get dollar insurance.
I've already got guys calling me asking about brown bag seed and shit.
Yeah.
Which I know why they want to plant the brown bag and hope it doesn't come up. This is not the time to be asking me about brown bag seed. This is when we need to be looking at like your GL varieties. You know, they're $150 a bag cheaper.
Your GL varieties.
Glatol Liberty Link, you know, like your Fiber Maxes.
Yeah.
You know,
your basic.
Just strip down. I mean, you can still spray Roundup. You can still spray Liberty.
Yeah.
If it comes up, at least we have a fucking weed control. Well, allegedly, we have a weed control option.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to go broke running those two products if you can find them.
I mean, Liberty's only like $100 a gallon right now.
Yeah, my statement stands.
Roundup's only at 50, 60.
If you can find it.
I got all you want.
You're still going to go broke.
I'll sell you 3 truckloads right now.
I'm going to pass.
Right here on the podcast.
I'm going to pass.
I'll price it later.
God, you are all heart, bud.
I am. That's what I would be looking at right now. And also, there's a lot of those GL varieties that are still pretty good. So if it does rain, it does come up.
Oh, yeah.
We run a hoe crew. We pix it. Spray for bugs. Let's say we get some rains. We have a chance of making a crop. It's not like if it comes up, well, fuck it, was plowed up and Wildcat Milo or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that, and I would agree, especially you get some of those Fiber Max varieties. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, Fiber Max was king in this area before the new varieties came out.
But they don't have any of those varieties anymore.
I would figure they'd still have some good contenders, yeah, though.
They do. I mean, 1621 is good cotton. Yeah. I know I've got... I don't know, 4 farmers, something like that. They've all booked the 1621 because that's what they want to do.
Yeah. No, that's more what I was getting at, that there's...
And also, if you want Liberty, you better buy some Fiber Max cotton.
Oh, really?
Because that's... I'm not as much... I'm like, if you buy seed, I'll sell you Liberty. There's a lot of companies I have heard, my competitors, that are saying, if you buy Fiber Max cotton, BASF product, you can buy Liberty.
Really?
If you don't, you ain't getting it because it's very heavily allocated.
Huh. No, I did not know that.
Now, I think our supply is going to be fine, but the problem is for our region, I don't think the supply is going to make it to the pipeline.
In time?
At peak demand.
Yeah. Which is a problem.
It's a very big problem.
So. That's why one of our strategies this year looking forward is going to be lots of pre-emerge.
Oh,
and a
yeah.
good pre-emerge program.
Yeah, fucking start now.
Yeah.
Weed control starts in February, March.
Exactly.
It does not start in April, May, June, July, but like some people think it is.
Get a handle on them now. Keep them from coming up. Especially in this economy, that's going to be your best bet, I think.
Yeah, and especially like if you're trying to spray right now in cold soils. I mean, we got lots of, on corn, I mean, we got lots of flumy. Dry flumy is really tight, which... kind of surprised me.
Really?
Yeah. It's tight and the price went up a little bit. Margin, I mean, everything went up a little bit. But liquid flumies, I think, are still in pretty good supply. Fucking run 3-4 ounces. Your problem is going to be on your dry land.
Yeah.
You get 3-4 ounces out there and you don't catch rain.
Not going to do you any good.
Well, I mean, you're not going to. Season's not going to come up anyway, so I guess that's not really going to be a problem. But
yeah, I mean, if you don't have rain, nothing's going to matter because you're not going to get any weeds up to have to kill.
But it's going to rain.
It always does. It's just a matter of when.
That's like your granddad always said.
One day closer to rain.
Always a rain at the end of a drought.
He is correct there.
Fucking sage wisdom right there.
Unless it's the world-ending drought.
We won't even talk about that.
We hadn't found it yet. I doubt it's this one.
If I'm going out in a world ender, I'm hoping for a flood.
Well, that would be the way to go, wouldn't it? I guess.
I can swim pretty good. I mean, yeah, not indefinitely, but.
I was going to say, not long enough to reach the ark, I'm guessing.
I got a boat.
Will it make it to Kentucky? Isn't that where they built the ark?
I thought it was Virginia.
It's one of the two. I'm not going to bother fact checking.
I don't even know if there's floats, though. Maybe we should build our own. That'd be a fucking winter project.
Oh, that'd be a hell of a winter project.
Fucking lumber's
up. I was going to say, have you seen lumber prices? I feel like we're getting on board this ark train a little too late.
I'm going to start cutting down all the trees around here. For those of you listeners, not from the Texas Panhandle, there ain't a lot of trees.
The only trees that are here were planted.
Or the mesquite trees.
That have moved in, yeah.
Which is really more of a bush.
I wonder how many mesquite bushes it would take to build an ark.
Oh, fucking hell. Do you know how, them crooked growing some bitches, you know how long it's going to take you on a planer and a joiner to make a fucking good bead on that shit?
You're only going to have them about 2 foot long.
It's a fucking shiplap. You know who's going to like our ark? Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Maybe they'll come see it. Maybe they'll donate to the cause.
I don't want them on my fucking ship.
Why?
There's something about her. She aggravates me a little bit.
Huh.
Like, I mean, she seems like a really nice lady. And everybody I've talked to that's like gone and met her.
Yeah.
Says she's super nice. There's something. Maybe it's just that show. But there's something about her that rubs me the wrong way.
You're the first person I've heard say anything negative about her.
She is really good looking.
She is that.
But I'm married, so I don't need that on the boat. I already got a really good looking lady to bring on the boat.
There you go.
I don't need a second one. You do you. I don't care. You can bring your whole harem on board. That's my
No, I just got the one. So, well, what else you been up to, Tyler?
Really, that's it. Just meetings and bid sheets that suck and talking about cotton with people. You know, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Just not a lot going on. I drove around today and I looked at wheat because I was curious. I heard something yesterday in a meeting about the wheat crop, how it's going to be so good. And I thought, where the fuck are you guys getting all this wheat at?
And?
It ain't around here.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because what I was driving by today, it is. You're starting to see the signs of a drought in the wheat. Oh,
yeah. Anything, you know, your earlier planted stuff definitely is up, because we had some moisture there. Your later planted stuff, you might have some spots on some low stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty thin stand right now.
And it doesn't have a good color to it.
None of it does. Even the early planted stuff.
No. I saw some irrigated today that looked kind of shitty.
I mean, that's what I was looking at, was the earlier planted dryland stuff. And it, like I said, you can definitely tell that we're in a drought because the color's starting to change on it. It's starting to get dry.
On the bright side, weed control. We're killing it.
Except for if you've got some volunteer wheat. That shit's still green for some reason.
I can't kill volunteer, man. I drove by a field today and I was looking at it and I was like, they got cattle turned out. They didn't even fucking plant that because it was just wheat stubble that they had disked.
Yeah.
And it was fucking green as shit. They had cattle out on it. I was like, what? Hey, man, whatever fucking works for you.
Hey, that's one way to do it. Yeah. That is some cheap grazing for cattle right there.
Yeah. No, I bet they're not gaining that great, but.
It probably.
And he didn't have calves out. I think he had some cows out on it.
Oh, that'd be good for cows then.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's save your grass.
There you go.
You're going to need it.
That is a fact. Just hope it doesn't burn this spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But no, I've done that. I've spent a little bit of time thinking about herbicide options. Brushing up. Gonna have to go a little old school this year.
Gonna have to get back on
and
some of this stuff.
If you depend on somebody like myself, like a sales agronomist, to make your recommendations, you better hope it's not one of the real young guys that never grew cotton without Roundup or Liberty, because I probably don't know how.
They're going to need some ideas.
They're going to need a little help. Now, your 60, 70, 80-year-old crop consultant turning around, this is their year.
It's their time to shine.
Yes. They just thought their glory days was behind them. Their phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Oh, it's going to be a different year this year.
It really is. But on the bright side, urea came down a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yep, not a lot, but it is coming down just a little bit. I think it's kind of peaked.
Well, that's good.
For, you know, a week.
It needed to.
Oh, it's probably going to go back up, but
I'm sure you're right.
I think right now we're looking good. It's not down enough that I'm like telling people to buy it. Obviously, I hadn't called you, but you know, we got a little relief, a little blip.
Whatever it takes.
You know, it's looking like a mountainside now instead of a cliff.
Just one side of it.
Yeah.
I always got to see the bright side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so I saw this deal on Twitter the other day.
Okay.
Which kind of fell into a deal that first I saw a post on Facebook, and it was talking about how, and it wasn't somebody that was really probably directly involved in agriculture, but they were trying to support farmers and ranchers, which I thought was cool, but they were talking about how, you know, we just need to shut down the big giant packing plants and go to back to like the local butcher shop.
Local packers,
yeah,
or small farmer owned packers and stuff like that,
right?
Yeah,
which made me think about really the impracticality of that.
Yeah,
because there's a reason we got to the big packers that we are, is because, you know, we got so many people that don't have feedlots, can't afford to feed out their own cattle, and then also, like, you look at a butcher shop like the one we've got in town. If they killed all their own beef and they just sold what they sold out of the store, motherfuckers would be out of business. Because you look at the amount of cuts that you get off of a steer.
That nobody wants?
Well, it's not that nobody wants. It's just, you know, if a guy comes in and wants to buy 20 ribeye steaks, well, that's going to put a pile of fucking 400 pounds of hamburger meat sitting over there to the other side.
Well, not even that. You've got roast and other things that are not high demand.
Yeah, in the wintertime, sure, they can probably get rid of them, but
maybe they might be able to move all of them.
They're going to end up getting ground up into hamburger meat.
Yeah.
I didn't know what your thoughts. I didn't know if you would agree with that.
No, I agree with you.
I do think there needs to be some reform in the whole system, obviously.
There does.
Maybe not reform. Well, yeah, reform.
And I'm excited about the prospect of more farmer-owned small kill plants opening up. Or harvest plants opening up, because, you know, I've heard of three or four,
yeah,
that are supposed to come online, I think, this year. And I think we're fixing to have another local shop open up. I think the one in Groom's fixing to
heard somebody open bought back that. Up.
Yeah, I heard they're going to open it back up. Apparently, everything is still in place in it. All the coolers and everything. All they have to do is do a little maintenance on the coolers, and that's all in place. All the line is.
Yeah.
Still intact, so they didn't part anything out. So, you know, it's an interesting time.
And you see a lot of people lately that, you know, they're selling, like, their brand of beef.
Oh, yeah, box beef has gotten to be a big thing, and part of that is the supply chain has broke down so much right now.
Yes.
I think that's why it's taken off. I'm wondering how long all this is going to last.
I don't think it's a sustainable business model. I could be just fucking wrong. I hope I am.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything may have shifted enough after the pandemic that...
I think it is a sustainable business model for the people that got in early. They have all their processing figured out. They have all their packaging figured out. They've got their distribution figured out. I think half of the people that I see, because fuck, I know like six people that are doing it right now.
Oh, yeah. That's an easy number to hit.
Three of them won't be there 10 years.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment of it.
Which, I mean, that's actually a pretty accurate statistic in any small business.
Yeah. And my other deal is, like, on the small farmer-owned kill plants, I'm wondering how long they're going to last. I could see them lasting right now because demand is high, supply is a little short, prices are high for the products. But what happens when either A, the big packers say, all right, we've had enough of this shit, we're not going to compete anymore, and they just drop beef prices and take a hickey for a little while. They'll be able to take it a lot longer.
How much of a premium would you be willing to pay to buy, let's say I'm selling half beefs. Fuck, I'd say I'm selling individual cuts. How much more of a premium would you be willing to buy a steak off of me versus at a grocery store?
Well, it depends on, is the quality there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a buck or so a pound, probably.
A buck or so a pound. Ribeyes, I think, are at like $16 a pound.
Yeah.
I think that's what the
email that the sounds right, yeah.
So, basically, you're willing to pay ...3% more?
I'd say anywhere from 3 to 10, especially if the quality really is there. You know it's a good product. Every time you're going to get the same. Because sometimes, you know, you get a ribeye from the grocer and it's, they're not always that good, you know. They may look good in the packaging, but you got some tough spots in them or stuff like that. So,
okay.
But what would your answer be to that? Because really,
I'm probably going to cap it at 5%.
Because really, that was kind of a hard question for me to answer, because a lot of times have our own beef in the freezer. Yeah. And other than maybe a prime rib for Christmas or a tenderloin or something, I don't really buy that much beef.
Well, I mean, you always get down to that point to where all you got less roast and hamburger, and you're going to have to go buy some steaks or something like that. But I think realistically, I'm not saying I would never spend more than 5% more to do something like that, but on a everyday, day-to-day basis, I'm not going to continue to pay more than 5% more.
Oh, no, and especially not for something like hamburger meat or roast that's already maybe what you would call a subpar or a subcut or something like that.
Well, here's the deal. You can go out and you can buy Wagyu hamburger meat, and it's not going to taste much different than what you buy at United.
No, that's... So, I mean, you've still
and,
got...
And I know a lot of people that buy Wagyu hamburger meat, and I'm not trying to knock you, and you, oh, it's so much better. Rah, rah, rah. It's because it's got more fucking fat in it. You're not buying an 80-20 blend.
Yeah.
That's why your hamburgers are so fucking juicy, because they're fucking half fat. You know what juice is? It's fucking fat.
Tyler Martin bringing the treat tonight.
I was a meat judger for about 2 weeks. I know what I'm talking about.
But now, back to your point, I think it's going to be really interesting in the next few years to see what happens with all this. Instead, I think there's a market for it now. Once the supply chain hopefully opens back up, we get through with all this COVID bullshit, everything kind of evens out. I'm going to be really interested to see where that leaves everything.
I am as well, but that's never going to go away. We're going to be in COVID until everybody's got 45,000 fucking booster shots.
Well, then if that's the case, I would say everything has a real good expectancy then.
Probably. It's hard to say. But, and that leads me to my deal that I saw on Twitter. This guy posted on there. He's like, you know, everybody's like, well, buy local, buy from a farmer, go track somebody down, buy half a beef off of them. No, don't do that. Just buy fucking beef. Whether you want to buy half, you want to go to the grocery store, whatever the fuck you want to do, buy beef. That will support American farmers.
That it will.
And I agreed with him. I was like, you know what? Nobody's fucking saying that.
That is a good point. I mean, if you have the means and you know the person and you want to support somebody.
If you've got an empty deep freeze and you want to go buy half beef, I'm not saying don't do that.
Yeah.
That guy's not saying don't do that. His point was, don't boycott grocery store beef. thinking that you're doing the right thing for the little guy.
Yeah.
Buy beef.
The only thing you're hurting is your belly and everybody's pocketbook.
Yeah. Who wants to fucking live off chicken?
Yeah.
Or worse yet, be a vegetarian.
Ugh.
I quit drinking before I did that.
For sure.
At least a month. But anyway, that's a thought that I had. Not really a thought, but a...
another 18 days anyway.
An observation. Oh, I'm counting them down. It's going to be rough for me.
It's going to be rough for you. You got two trips coming up.
First one, no problem. I can make that work. That week-long sales meeting.
That one's going to be rough.
You know what's real good at the end of a fucking six-hour day of meetings?
Any kind of alcohol.
Yes.
Somebody's going to catch Tyler making prison wine in his bathtub.
Booze is booze, whether it comes out of the bathtub or not, all right? So I won't do that. But, I mean, if it comes down to that point, Tyler's just going to go down to the bar and have himself a whiskey drink. And then maybe I tack on a day or two into February to count up for it. But, yeah, you see me February 3rd. It's like, hey, you want beer? No, I'm good. You know what happened.
Somebody fell off the wagon.
Yes. Yes. You know, sometimes you just got to get that first relapse out of the way, right?
I could see that happening, especially after a week-long meeting like that. That would be rough.
No shit. But I guess that's all we got.
Yeah, I think so.
Really appreciate y'all listening. Make sure and check out our sponsors.
Check out the Facebook group, the Facebook page. Like, join. Give us any comments if you got some feedback.
Lots of likes, lots of joiners.
Not so much on the group as the page. Y'all go ahead and look up the group. It should be attached to the page somehow.
I think I've got it set to where after you join the after you like the page, you get invited to join the group.
Okay.
I think.
So go ahead and ask to join the group. That's where all the fun stuff is supposed to happen.
And it will happen. I got faith in y'all.
Rex is trying to lead the way, but he needs help, guys.
He needs help. And if you want to be a sponsor, hit us up. Send us a message. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah. We work for as cheap as the price of your favorite booze.
No doubt. No doubt. But again, thank you all very much. Have a great week.
Oh, you've got them over there.
Oh, wait. Forgot about whiskey trivia.
Whiskey trivia.
Oh, wait. It's my turn. What are you doing?
Well, they're upside down.
I mean, they're upside down.
Oh, are they supposed to be that set up?
Yeah. That's the question side.
Okay. Which country was the first to introduce a minimum age period for whiskey in 1887? Canada, Ireland, or Germany?
I would have guessed Britain on that, but that's not an option. So we're going to go with the fake Brits and go Canada.
You are correct. Canada. Britain followed with its minimum age law 25 years later.
They tried it out on Canada. Then brought that out home. Yeah. There we go. There's your whiskey trivia.
You learn something every day.
So, as I already said prematurely, thank you for listening. Have a great week.
Adios, people.